Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Think of Texas food, and you might think barbecue or Tex-Mex, but the food of Texas, particularly South Texas, is a blend of various cultures. Texas Public Radio recently held a panel discussion on the Asian influence on South Texas cuisine. We're bringing you an excerpt from that panel discussion on today's show. The panelists you'll hear today are Monica Perales, historian and associate vice provost at the Institute of Texan Cultures at the University of Texas at San Antonio. Leo Davila is chef and owner of the San Antonio Asian Latin fusion restaurant Sticks and Stone. He's of Chinese and Mexican descent. Christina Zhao is a Chinese-American restaurateur behind two San Antonio restaurants, Zishuan House and Dashi Zishuan Kitchen and Bar. And Camille de los Reyes is the owner of the Sari Sari Filipino Restaurant Market and Bakery in San Antonio. The panel is edited for broadcast. The conversation is moderated by Texas Public Radio's Fronteras producer, Marian Navarro. She begins with a question for historian Monica Perales.
I want to start off with the historical perspective of how Asian American food came to South Texas and San Antonio and how Asian American immigrants got here. So tell us a little bit about that story and how it's evolved to what it is today.
Sure. I think one of the most important things to know and to understand about, sort of the cuisine and sort of the history of Texas is to think about Texas as a crossroads. It is a place that not just today is a crossroads, but has been a crossroads across generations, even before this was Texas, the state of Texas, right? Even in colonial times, when we think of this area and New Spain, right, there were Asian influences and Asian people from across the continent who made their way here. People of Asian background have long histories in the region. Like, think about Chinese immigrants who came to work on the railroads in the mid-19th century. In the early part of the 20th century, Japanese farmers and merchants who came to set up their lives here as well. And well into the 20th century, with the migration of different waves from different parts of Asia, Korea, the Philippines, Vietnam in the 1970s especially. And so it's a long and diverse history of people who have come through Texas because of where Texas is and because of that context. These roots are incredibly long and varied. And even the ingredients, when we think about ingredients that are of this area, of this region, many of them also followed these various routes through the Americas and up into Texas. And so I think it's important to recognize that. I think another, element that is also important is thinking about all of the different ways that people from various Asian backgrounds have had an influence on the culinary traditions of this region in different ways, as entrepreneurs, as makers of food, as cooks, as business owners, as grocers, as growers, right? The Japanese rice farmers and other farmers in the South Texas region. And so, when we think about Asian cuisine, it's almost part of the DNA of Texas, if you will, because those roots are so long.
When you think of San Antonio and South Texas, you automatically think Texas-Mexico borderlands, right? That idea that we're right next to the border. But it's also important to highlight the fact that so many immigrants crossed that border to get here and that Asian American immigrants crossed that border. And so those influences are here in Texas. Camille, you had something very interesting about Filipino history and kind of how you've learned about that and the food and how it influenced you here.
For sure. Our immigration story happened also back in the 80s. There was an influx of nurses that came to the U.S. and also to Texas, and that's how my mom got here. But with that story, I also learned in my research, and I feel like it's really important to know where you're going. You have to know where you came from. So I had to dive a little bit deeper back into our roots, my parents, how they got here and where we came from in the Philippines. And I learned that Texas was actually called Nuevas Filipinas during the time that Spain had colonized the Philippines and Mexico. Texas or close to that, Acapulco, was a major trade route. So from Mexico, we got avocados and corn. We make desserts out of those. We don't make guacamole. So you have to try them in the Asian. Avocados are different in Asia, but also very delicious. And then Mexico got mangoes. We have Filipino mangoes that come from Mexico because of that trade. So I think there's a lot of Filipino roots here in Texas. I think there's a lot of similarities in our food, also in our language. So if you haven't tried it, definitely come out and see and explore with me how pancit is like fideo, or how lechon kawali is like chicharron. But lots of really delicious things. And there's a lot of ways that we can fuse our cultures and our cuisines to make them more approachable and also to make them more understandable.
I think that's something that obviously you see in your cuisine and the food that you serve at your restaurant, Leo. Like you said, you have Taiwanese beef rolls. You also have Korean japchae, but then you have big red barbacoa tacos as well as an offering. So tell us a little bit about that fusion and how you've used those ingredients and mixed them and used them.
Yeah, definitely. Growing up, you know, we always had that joke where I wasn't Chinese enough. I wasn't Mexican enough, even though I grew up in South Texas. So now, as a chef, I experience the same things. Well, it's not Chinese enough or Asian enough, and it's not Mexican enough. And my thing is always, well, it's me enough. Like, it's me. It's what I'm serving. And when people say, well, I've never seen this on another menu, correct, because it's me. Just like other chefs, there's stuff on other chefs' menu at their restaurants that I've never seen before on other people's menu. And it's to say, well, because they're an entity versus me being a person, it's different because there's no name attached to that. So it's very different to go through that struggle and to see that. But our food is pretty much just a storytelling of myself and my team. So, you know, I have my whole family on this side, plus my team. And without them, I wouldn't be here today. And it's not just like a hoorah. Like, they really are who make me. And it's not fair to mention my name and not mention their name. So just my team that's here right now is Chef Kendra sitting up here with her dad. Also happens to be my girlfriend, so, you know, love her to death. Then my front of the house manager is actually my little sister, Michelle. And then her husband, who's actually one of my best friends, is Chef Hunter, and he's my chef de cuisine. And with those four minds, we come together with this menu that serves us. So Kendra grew up Korean, grew up in Japan, has a lot of influence on that menu. Chef Hunter is from New Mexico, so we take his inspiration and his draw, and we put it in there. And then we just take what I saw. So big red and barbacoa, probably our most controversial and loved taco on the menu.
So,
yeah. And that's what I would think. But you have so many people that look at me like, why would you do that? And I said, why wouldn't you do that? Mm-hmm. Right? You have it on the side. Let's mix it together. So we actually do take big red, put it in our heirloom masa, make a tortilla. From there, it's a low and slow barbacoa, gets a chili de arbol salsa, little bit of a pesto, kind of like an homage to where we used to work and some other things that we used to do. Give it a little bit of creaminess and texture. Queso fresco, and then pickled watermelon rind. And the reason that's there is, like, that's my childhood in a taco. So on Sundays, you went to church. My grandpa made barbacoa. Always had corn tortillas. Always had a watermelon. So we're just trying to figure out a way to give you something that you've probably seen all your life, but not. And that's just kind of what we do every single day, and it's a blast.
What about you, Christina? How has your restaurant used those ingredients and used your experiences? And how has it grown?
So the roots of our restaurants are actually, my story is very similar to Camille's, where my father is the one who started the Asia market back in 1997. And the origins of Szechuan House was really with my father and wanting to bring those flavors to San Antonio, and he wasn't able to find those back then. And, you know, we spent a lot of time talking to our guests and telling them about our style of food, about how it's enjoyed family style. And Szechuan food is known for being very spicy, but it actually is, it's known for 27 different flavor profiles. And there's maybe more than 5,000 different recipes in the repertoire. But at the fundamental, I think it's very similar to global cuisine, where you have the fundamental flavors of salty, sweet, bitter, spicy, sour, pungent. And then from those basic flavors, you have so many other levels that can come out of those. And then what we use to achieve those individual flavors depends on the ingredients that are available.
And I think that's something, Monica, that you see throughout history, right? That the ingredients and the way that they're used changed based on what's available and what's there and what you can get, right?
Absolutely. And I think that one of the common threads here is, you know, sort of how individual groups try to carry on tradition and to provide things that are familiar and that speak to their experience and their place that they consider home as they're making home in a new place. And also, what happens when people live alongside one another, when they work alongside one another, when they shop alongside one another and worship alongside one another, and how those influences and new ingredients and experiences, you know, kind of impact that, right? That you can get new creations and new ways of eating that speak to this moment in which people find themselves. And, you know, I think you see that as a very familiar story across many immigrant groups, right? Trying to serve their community and give a taste and a feel of home while also making something that is unique to the time and space that they find themselves in.
You're listening to highlights from a panel discussion on the influence of Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders on South Texas cuisine. You just heard from historian Monica Perales, restaurateur Christina Sau, chef Leo Davila, and restaurant owner Camille de los Reyes. The discussion is moderated by Fronteras producer Maria Navarro. When we come back, some cuisines that derive from immigrant communities get deemed for not being authentic enough.
Tradition evolves and changes too, and that's reflected in the foods that we eat and the meals that we share.
The discussion continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. San Antonio is one of only two cities in the U.S. recognized as a UNESCO Creative City of Gastronomy, recognized for its role in the development of Tex-Mex cuisine and Mexican cuisine in the country. Texas Public Radio has been exploring San Antonio and South Texas cuisine beyond the tortilla in a series of panel discussions that focus on the various cultural influences on regional cuisine, including indigenous, African American, and even Polish influences. TPR marked Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month in May with a panel discussion on the Asian influences on South Texas cuisine. Our guests were historian Monica Perales, Christina Zhao, restaurateur behind Sichuan House and Dashi Sichuan Kitchen and Bar in San Antonio, Leo Davila, UNESCO Chef Ambassador and owner of the Asian fusion restaurant Sticks and Stone, and Camille de los Reyes, owner of the Sari Sari Filipino Restaurant Market and Bakery. The program was recorded in May 2024 at the Texas Public Radio headquarters, and it's moderated by Fronteras producer Marianne Navarro. Here are some highlights from that discussion, which is edited for broadcast. The first two voices you'll hear after Marianne's question are Leo Davila and Christina Zhao.
Kind of talking about ethnic cuisine, any ethnic cuisine that you talk about, you see this with Tex-Mex, really anything. There's this idea of quote-unquote authenticity. What is it to be authentic Sichuan, or what is it to be authentic Filipino food? Is it authentic Filipino food? What is authenticity, right? It's very subjective. It's a very broad window. How do you all approach that in your restaurants? Do you approach it in your restaurants? And how have you kind of worked through that idea of authenticity?
So we actually have shirts made that say always authentic, never traditional. We are unapologetically ourselves, just like everyone should be. You know, be you to who you are and stay true to that. And that's who we are and that's what we do. So when we get questions asked, well, is it authentic or this isn't authentic? And I'm like, how? Like, how is that not authentic? If I'm cooking it, if it came from me, if it came from my brain, my heart, my team's brain, my team's heart, where does authenticity start and end? Now, if you're telling me, is it traditional? No. And I'll give you a story. I just went to Shundi, China. So I'm also an UNESCO chef ambassador. They sent me to China for a week. I almost got detained in China twice. The first time is because I brought a cast iron tortilla press and they thought it was a bomb because they had never seen one before. And then while I'm there, I'm telling them that I'm going to cook a mole sauce, right? Everybody looking around like, oh, I know what a mole is. So the day of the demo, they're scrambling and they're like, chef, we don't know if we can find this. And I was like, oh, I don't need anything. I have it. They're like, well, what are you cooking? And I was like, well, the fish that you're providing, but you want this. the mole. And I was like, oh no, I brought it. And they're like, you brought it? I was like, what are you talking about? Well, they showed me a picture. They were trying to source me a mole rat. And they thought I was going to butcher a mole rat in front of them and serve it to them. And they were just like, okay, this is something every day. If somebody told us that, I'd be like, yeah, we're not doing that. So when I look at something like that, I think of people who preserve tradition and people who want to innovate. And we're just trying to be on the innovative side of everything.
Very well said, Chef. So we do pride ourselves on being an authentic Szechuan restaurant, both of them. And we will get foreign nationals come in and they'll tell me, hey, who do you have in your kitchen? Do you have an Asian person? Or do you have a Chinese person cooking? I don't know. This doesn't taste authentic to me. And it leaves me very stumped. But at the same time, I take the approach in thinking, okay, you're right. I mean, you're basically telling me your grandma's spaghetti is better than my grandma's spaghetti. I mean, they're both authentic. It's fantastic, but you just have a slight variance. That doesn't make it less authentic, but I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. But we take a lot of pride in putting out what we feel is as true to authentic as can be through the culinary techniques, through the ingredients that we choose to utilize, the ratios of different recipes and in the ingredients, and achieving the flavor profile. Like one of the most famous Szechuan profiles, there's mala, which means mouth-numbingly spicy. And it's not because it's so spicy that it numbs your mouth. It's literally because of the use of the Szechuan peppercorn that causes a numbing sensation on the palate. And you know that we will find those peppers pretty prominently sprinkled in throughout the menu. But we also have to balance that out because not everybody loves to have their face feel numb.
What about you, Camille? How have you kind of dealt with that question of authenticity? Or is that even something that you've dealt with at your restaurant and at Sari Sari?
Yeah, for sure. I think the question of authenticity is also, a difficult one to define what that means to each individual. I believe also that our recipes are authentic because they're the way that my dad made them. So we do try to hold true to those recipes. We haven't deviated very much. We've added a few items to our menu, but we're really trying to innovate food. We're really trying to make food that might have a little bit of my history, might have a little bit of our tradition, but also be exposed to the nuances that are happening all over the world. Food is so exciting. I'm a foodie at heart. I'm not a chef, just in case y'all didn't know. I'm a doctor of physical therapy, but my parents started this restaurant such a long time ago, and I felt like it was such a gem that I needed to leave my profession and really see what I could do to introduce San Antonio to Filipino food if you haven't already tried it. But Filipino food, when we opened back in the 90s, may at this time may be challenged in its authenticity because, like Christina said, the ingredients were not available here when we started. My dad also sourced Filipino ingredients from Houston or wherever he could find them to bring them to San Antonio so that we could cook our food. Cooking your own food when you have immigrated from a different country makes you feel more at home in such a foreign place. So it really is like inviting people to the table, sharing your love, making sure they're fed, making sure they, are introduced to what you're providing for them. So in that way, like Leo says, this is from my heart. This is very authentic to me. So if you're challenging that, I don't really have much to say. Yes. But when you come to Sari Sari, it's authentic and traditional.
And Monica, I mean, you had written about this idea, this theme, in how people write about food and how people study food, the scholarly aspect of it. What did you find with this idea of authenticity?
Yeah, I think authenticity, the way that everybody here is describing it, is really the way that we should be thinking about authenticity, right? And then we see that tradition, right? We often talk about tradition as something that is fixed and that never changes, and that's not true. Tradition evolves and changes too, and that's reflected in the foods that we eat and the meals that we share and in just all of the creativity that can be found in these restaurants. And so let's broaden that notion. Let's kind of explode that idea a little bit more. And then you see what a beautiful diversity you do get from this to sort of see what does it mean to be authentic now.
You're listening to highlights from a recent panel discussion on Asian influences on South Texas cuisine. The panelists were Monica Perales, historian and associate vice provost at the Institute of Texan Cultures at the University of Texas at San Antonio. Her research focuses on food in the southwestern U.S. in the 20th century. You also heard from Christina Tsao, a Chinese-American restaurateur behind two San Antonio restaurants, Sichuan House and Dashi Sichuan Kitchen and Bar. And from Camille de los Reyes, owner of the Sari Sari Filipino Restaurant Market and Bakery in San Antonio, and from Leo Davila, chef and owner of the Asian fusion restaurant Sticks and Stone, and a UNESCO chef ambassador. The discussion is part of the Great SA Culinary Confluence of Cultures series presented by the San Antonio World Heritage Office. It was recorded May 22, 2024 at Texas Public Radio and was moderated by Fronteras producer Marian Navarro. Find video of the complete panel discussion at tpr.org and on Texas Public Radio's YouTube page. Thanks for joining us today for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marian Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.